Okay, the children are here with us. The way we want to end is by blessing the children. So if you know that they need extra care, I know we have a lovely care room back there. I don't know if anybody's there to care for them. And if you can hear what's going on in here, if you take them out. But I trust that I can have a little time to teach, not too long. And then after that, we're going to bless the children. And I say again that, well, I'm saying now that your children may not be here. Mine aren't here. We have four children and four grandchildren. But at every opportunity I get, I call their names before the Lord. I remind the Lord of his promises for our children. And although the oldest one was born many, many years ago, in 1968, now you know my age, but although that was so long ago, I still bless her. We still take opportunity to bless our children. It is our responsibility, and it is our gift. It's a gift that God has given to us. It's a right, the right of a parent, to be able to speak forth into the future life of their children. Jacob said, "Let come, children, let me tell you what shall befall you in the last days. What shall befall this nation in the last days? Let me speak into the lives of my children." So if you want to speak into the life of this nation, of this state, of your town, you can bless your children differentially so that together the blessing will be for the total benefit of the nation, of the church, of the kingdom of God. The theme of this conference has to do with kingdom. So we are vitally interested, aren't we? And in extending the kingdom of God through history and in time. What is our responsibility? To extend the kingdom of God, not just for our generation, but through history and in time. And it is our responsibility to do that as we bless, receive the blessings of the Lord in ourselves, as a church, as parents, and also to speak forth that blessing to the next generation. Right. Your pastor said when he stood up, he reminded us of the Isaiah prophecy, when Isaiah, prince and prophet, said and prophesied that a son will be born. Right. And he is going to, and the increase of his government and his kingdom, there shall be no end. Right. Of the increase of his government and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And we also sang a song that talked about something about from generation, his peace from generation. And you know, the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. Right. God is an eternal God. Right. So what is his modus operandi to be? If he is eternal and he is interacting and has children who live in time, who are born and live and die, if he is going to have his word, an eternal word, and if the dominion of God is from generation to generation, and the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom, and the praises of God must go from generation to generation, you know, and his eternal promises are only eternal if they are inherited by one generation who pass them on to the next generation. Because you have coexisting at the same time the whole eternality nature of who we are. We are eternal beings, we are spirit beings, and we have interacting alongs contemporarily with it the whole time. How is time, therefore, to align itself with eternity? The only way that can happen is when we bless the next generation, when we have a legacy, when we have something for succession, for the kingdom to go in my generation and to go to the next generation. That is the way it happens. And when we live in the spirit, yes, with a spirit of eternal nature in us, understanding the eternal covenants of God, the eternal nature of his kingdom, but we must plant our feet very much so in time and with the knowledge that we must do the best in our time, in our generation, to multiply the kingdom of God, to establish his kingdom here on the earth as it is in heaven. And then we must bless the next generation, which is what we are doing today, so that they know that they are kingdom sons and daughters. We inherit, and they inherit the succession that we have, the land that we have accumulated in our lifetime, the property that we have, they are for the next generation. A good man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. So our children and our grandchildren will be blessed with the same blessing with which we are blessed. All right? Let us just establish that from the beginning. Because God is that kind of God. He's an eternal God. He wants, we don't have to spend the time here today to determine or to say that the way he operates is that he wants his eternal nature, his kingdom rule to be extended as it is in heaven, so on the earth. So that's it is the essential responsibility of the church to extend the kingdom of God in their time, in your history, in this generation for us. And if we are smart enough, we will bless the next generation so that what we build here and the sanctuary I believe that you are building across the street will be inherited by your children in another generation. They will be its leaders and they will be kingdom leaders, and they'll have that enormous appetite for the kingdom of God being established, for this city being blessed, for this nation being blessed, and for the church to be extended, and for the right hand of God to be lifted over this part of the nation, and for God's kingdom to rule through their administration, okay? So we are establishing that as a foundational thing. The other thing that we better establish once and for all here too is the nature of God. And it is the nature of God by his very, the word that he speaks to increase more and more. God, he has no more space to increase his ability, his eternality, his whole total existence. He was there before the beginning. And he owns everything, and everything is in him. So God already, you know, owns all of the universality of space. And nowadays we read every so often about new planets being discovered and new suns with stars around it and new planets looking like the Earth. We heard a couple of weeks ago being, so to speak, discovered, you know. But the fact is that God has created it all, you know. So he really owns it all. And you know, when he first said, let there be light, the light exposed the darkness. And he has never pulled back that word to him, because that word isn't finished. And the word doesn't return to the Lord until it has accomplished everything for which it was sent forth. Right. And let there be light. Light takes time, the speed of light. And I believe that when people think that they, you know, planets, they have discovered it, the fact is that God's light has just shone on it so that we can understand it. And the same let there be light is continually exposing, shutting out the darkness and exposing the things that God already is and already has. You know, so God is that kind of God. When you got eternal life, you didn't say, I really was so happy that I had a blessed hope that, you know, I will live forever with God in heaven. And that's what I thought. That's what they taught me. They didn't tell me, really, when I became a Christian, the fact that I have eternal life means I have eternal comprehension like God has. I was breathed by his spirit life inside of me. And so I understand the things that he understands and the nature of eternalness, you know, and all of that, and bigness and spatial dimensions. We really have to understand that when you became a Christian, you took on the spirit of God. And when you were born, he breathed his spirit life inside of you and all of that. But how much more we have living in God and in Christ and in the spirit. So we need to understand all that he is. And what we are talking about now is understanding the fact that whatever everything that God creates, he creates it to increase. That's right. Everything he created and still creates by the way he operates, he creates it to multiply and to increase. Right. Let's just take that as a basic knowledge. Again, when I was first saved, they didn't tell me everything. They didn't really tell me all about this, how I can increase more and more, me and my children. You know, but that's in the word, and that's solid. And we need to therefore grasp and absorb and operate as if we understand really all that God wants. So part of the nature of God is that whatever God creates, he creates it to live forever. Whatever God creates, he creates it so that it increases. What an eternal God created, He puts the seed in it to multiply and to increase. That's the way God works. Now, if remember at each stage that if we have the life of God and we understand who we really are in God, it means that we will think the same way. That whatever we plant seed in, a piece of land, and we reaped a certain level of the harvest in 2015, we should really be reaping more of that harvest from that harvest of seeds from the 2015 stock in 2016. And in 2017, the stock should even be bigger that we're going to reap because we have more seed to plant. But if we are stultified and if we just think very narrowly and if we think only of our own generation, we will just expect the harvest of 2017 to be just like it was 2016. And we never think that we should increase. So let us not think, let us be aware with, stop thinking like we are poor, for example, because God wants us to increase more and more. He wants you and your children to increase for your sake and for your children's sake. If you have three children, you do not only need that two-bedroom house you have or three-bedroom, because when they get to be older, you want to have them inherit. You have to have three houses, three pieces of property. That's how you need to be thinking, so that you will increase more and more, you and your children. And God can work with you like that. When you ask God for a new piece of property, and you say, this is for my son to have, so he will have these 10 acres, and he'll be able to cultivate it. God will give you that property. He'll give you the ideas to acquire that property, because what he wants is for you to have that kingdom mentality. What he wants is to make sure his children are well cared for. Amen. By the succession that you are and that you have, by the legacy and understanding of inheritance that you have, God wants you to have that same way that he is thinking and to increase you more and more, you and your children. Yeah. I spoke with a little lady in the island of Trinidad last week, and she was telling me, very poor woman, a couple of years ago, and then her pastor told her some of the things, maybe something that I am saying today. And so the next Monday morning, instead of going to buy more food, what she did was they invested in property, you know, and they invested in seed for their garden. And she told me, Miss Morgan, we've built a house, and she told me all the rooms that they have from one year of gardening. Gardening pays, she was telling me. And she was experiencing the increase of the Lord in her life, and she was blessing her children with that same blessing. In Genesis chapter 1, which is what I'm going to teach from now, God talks about whenever God created something, whenever God spoke and said to light, darkness, let there be light, and there was light, the Bible says, and God said, that's good. All right? Whenever he created something and he called the first day, second day, and he created the sun and the moon and all of that, he said, that's good. When things worked as God created it to work, God says, that's good. But you know, that good doesn't only mean it is created to do a particular purpose, but and to fulfill the purpose for which it was created, because this mic is good because it's operating as a good mic. That's good. All right. But the other meaning of good is economically beneficent. Whenever he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And at the last eighth time he said, it is very good. He means economically beneficent, which means you will increase. It will increase. The blessings are for us to increase financially. We have been taught. You see, they taught me when I was saved and for many, many years after that I am saved, thank the Lord, I'm going to heaven one day, and things are going to be so wonderful for me in heaven. And so they never really taught me that on this earth I am to increase more and more. That I'm to have property that should increase more and more for me and my children. So I was heavenly bound, but kingdom was far from my thinking, and increasing the kingdom of God on earth, I didn't think I was good enough, or I had that governmental responsibility. So we had to learn a lot. And thank the Lord, he's teaching us a lot in these days. So what God is saying to us now is that his full intention is to increase you more and more, you and your children. And of course, I know you know the scripture for that, It comes from one of the Psalms about God increasing you more and more, you and your children. All right? So, we're understanding then who we are with an enormous capacity to understand how big and great and eternal God is. And when he tells us we have eternal life, and he means that we understand eternal dimensions of how his kingdom could be established in all the earth. It's not hard for us to believe that. When we see how things are with our physical eyes, we say, how could God's kingdom be established in every sphere of government in Missouri? But when we think the way God thinks, when we see how eternal God is and how he created and all that is his, when we understand that, we can understand and fully comprehend that God wants his kingdom established in all the spheres of influence. When we look at ourselves and we understand who God is and who has made us to be, he knows that we are people who walk in dominion, understanding of our nature, the nature of God in us, and our capacity for kingdom rulership and reigning. Our capacity for reigning is very tricky of the enemy to keep us bound by our geographical sphere. You know, I'm a little farmer in a little country town, in a little place. That kind of thinking, my grandmother did it this way, my mother did it this way, and I'm going to stay doing it this way. And when I think I'm being different, somebody say, where do you think you come from? Who do you think you are? Strutting around like if you come from Manhattan uptown or something. I don't know what they think about you, you know. But people don't like to see you change. They want you to stay in the same old way, you know. And you need to know, you know, sometimes our sons and daughters, they shake it off. And they kind of say, no, 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 I'm not going to, I'm going to LA or something. Because of the kind of cloak we want to cloak them with, you know. But we can enjoy everything we can in our sphere if we enjoy all of God's increase and all of the way God thinks and all of his mentality. We can change our modus operandi to be who we really, really are. Amen. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 1. What are we about to do? We are about to use the next few minutes to get a biblical basis for what God wants to do today. What he wants to do is to help us to use a tool that he has given to us. A tool that he successfully used in Genesis chapter 1. Where can we find that tool? In this first chapter of Genesis. I know your pastor has preached hundreds of times. You have preached hundreds of times on it, and you understand Genesis chapter 1. You know it by heart. You know, but let us look for what God wants to say to us today. What are we about to do? We are looking at children here in our midst. We are looking at our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren. And we are determining that they shall have it better than we had it. We are determining that they will not have to go through some of the poverty mentalities that we have had. You know, that they wouldn't have to suffer some things, and we just think, well, so it go. You know, if I had the time, I'd read things for you. I recently read something I wrote. You know, one of our sons works in the poverty-stricken area of Kingston, Jamaica. He works in the ghetto among the poor. And often I've spoken to the parents there, the women. And I see the women, and I wrote something like, you know, and I look at the grandmothers with their last children on their laps, about sitting above their skirts, and I see the poverty and the dirt and the wretchedness of their circumstances down in the ghetto, living among the poor. And I see the men sitting down on the dirty bridge. And when I pass by them, they tell me, Miss Morgan, this is the system, Miss Morgan, it's so it go. It was so with us, and it's so it's going to be with our children. It's a system, Miss Morgan. When I talk to the women, they say, Miss Morgan, why God treat me so? Why God gave me 6 sons and not 1 daughter, Miss Morgan? 6 sons and the gunmen out there and the druggists waiting to put gun in their hands and to let them sell drugs for them, Miss Morgan, my sons. And my little daughter I had. My sister had. We had to send her away before they're done. Send for them when they grow up. And they say, it's a system, Miss Morgan. It's so it go. I don't have time to tell you how it go, Miss Morgan. And those people live with a mentality that says they can't change. It's so it go. It's so it go down there in the ghetto. It's so it go up here in uptown. is just so it go among my people. How we are born to suffer like this. And that's a cursed mentality that we have. You know, and people, watch who you're talking to. Watch anybody who tells you, but you know, it's the generational thing. Oh, so it go. We in our family, so it go. You know, people die like this, or we have this disease, or our children don't really grow up to be anything because it's so it go. It's so it is. That is a terrible mentality to have, and God wants us to be rid of it. If we don't do something about it, we shall not be blessed. And you see, what gets me is that the enemy loves to hear us say that. He loves when we just think we're going to be satisfied. He loves when we only bless ourselves, prim up ourselves and stuff, and we never think of the next generation. We don't wait to bless them. So today we're going to bless our children, and today we are going to tell ourselves who we are in Christ. We're going to remind ourselves of the increase and of the government of God, that our children shall rule on the earth, and we are going to remind ourselves of the government of God in us and our own dominion status, who we are in Christ, and we are going to bless ourselves, and we're going to bless our children in the name of Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 1, you know it. And we're going to look for some roots here. We're going to spend a little time just understanding what we're doing. And then we are going to, by that time, the grandparents, the parents, the leadership here, will be more than willing to bless the next generation. Those who are here and those who are not here, we shall earnestly desire God for a blessing for them. And tomorrow the pastor has given us a little opportunity before Pastor Bishop Morgan speaks to again bless the children who will be here tomorrow. What are we doing? We are just, I see us just stabilizing ourselves when we bless the next generation. We are just putting our feet down and planting ourselves in God and our rightful place in the kingdom of God. And we are ensuring that our children and our children's children find a place of leadership in their sphere of influence. Okay? So in the beginning, God, wonderful God, created the heavens and the earth. All right, and as usual, he assesses and he looks and he evaluates things. And when he evaluated, by verse 2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form. What? The earth was void. Something was wrong in the earth that God had created. God has made us in his image. We do the same thing as well. And we need right now to look at ourselves and see what is empty about our lives. What is missing? Which child is going out of the way? Where is my money leaking out at? You know, what have I not prepared for this next spring is here already? Have I planted my seed that will grow? Have I set down my stakes where I should set it down? We must always be evaluating what's happening. The worst thing for us is to be just contented with what little we have. We said that. But the horrible thing is for us to just not even evaluate where we are. You know, just look and see, well, what's the quality of my hair? My hair needs something. But we need to be like God. And here was God evaluating. And he saw that something needed to happen. What happened when God did that? The ownership of God comes into place. Now we are copycatting God. We are going to follow fashion. The way God operates, men of God here, operate like the way God operates. Women, we are going to operate the way God operates. Because we are children of God, born and shaped in his image and likeness, spirit breathed by him, so we can operate the way God operates. All right? How do we operate? We're assessing everything. What needs to happen in this house? Are we going to build next door? Da, da, da. What do we need for the children? And so forth. So here we go. So, and it says here that God looked around and he saw that something wasn't good. And eternal fatherhood takes place. Ownership, responsibility for what he had created, right? We are following the way God operates. So I want you to do it for your own self, you know. And divine anger rose in God's belly, in his heart, when you feel rage in your heart against something's happening in this nation, for example. And then divine determination to do something about it, divine ability to do something about it, divine will to change it, divine intention to do something about it, comes out of the mouth of God as a divine word. Let there be light. So that's the way we need to operate. We see some things not happening. We have to assess. Say, look, I'm in charge of this property. I'm in charge of this household. These are my children. I made these children. And then you have to take your own divine responsibility and speak a word. And that word is a blessing. Let there be light in my family situation. Right. Let there be light in my nation, in my property, on my property. The same divine unction you have, an ability that must come out of your mouth as the divine word. So those of you women who just hold your belly and shut up your mouth, you need to start talking nice and loud to the darkness around you. Yeah. To say, I am not tolerating this stuff around here. Whether it is old drapery in the house or old stuff going on in your house, women, men, we got to say enough is enough. Amen. By the same way God operates, a divine word. Let there be light here and here and here in my life, in my situation. And then you must look to see if it has changed. God looked and he saw, yeah, the light could only do what it was sent forth to do, which is to expel the darkness, and there was light where there was darkness before. And then God responds with, that's good. So you always have to be responding like God, that's good in my family, that's not good in my family. This is operating according to God's purpose in my family and operating well, and this here is not right. It has to be changed. I've got to speak some more light in this situation. That's the way God operates. Okay. And so it goes through the whole of Genesis chapter 1 with God operating like this. He operates with on some principles. It's the principle of creation and of creativity. So God wants kingdom men and women to operate with that same level of creative ability. If something was one way last year, it is not supposed to remain the same way this year. We've got to speak and create new. And we have that ability and capacity to do just that. And we have to call on the Spirit of God to move mightily upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God, I heard your pastor say, this is not a time for gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You know, once we were taught to pray like a nice little Roman Catholic girl I was, how I must be so sweet and quiet and just say my rosary. This and that. But when I was confronted by the enemy who wanted to destroy my children, I had to get some unction from on high and operate like the Spirit of God moving mightily upon the face of the waters. And I had to say, Spirit of death, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Yes. When the enemy wanted to destroy our children, I had to stand up and be loud and raucous. Now the nuns who taught me didn't want me to be raucous, and one time I wrote a word disgusting in my essay, and they said that word is too aggressive. So they didn't even want me to use the word disgusting or aggressive or stuff. So you have to watch it. You know, I'm telling you, you got to be aggressive. I can take you through 100 scriptures which show maledictory psalms and all that show that there are sometimes you have to bless and sometimes you have to curse. Right. We don't like the cursing part. We were not taught to be so aggressive. But when the enemy, all he knows is to kill you off. All the enemy Satan knows is to destroy you and your property and your children. So you'd better fight. And God has given us every capacity to fight. Amen. He has put in the heart of a woman extreme animosity against the enemy who wants to destroy her seed. That's right. You know, so you've got to be who you are. You know, we become known as this peaceful, nice little person, but the enemy is slapping us around the place. So you've got to shake up yourself. I don't know what you have been told. You may have been told that we people don't behave this way. Or in our family, we are really a peaceful, mild family, natured family. And that man can encroach upon my husband's property. Every year he takes 10 more yards of it. And you are just nice and quiet and you're just watching that happen. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to stand up and fight. God has given us the capacity and ability to fight for our property. You know, we see God. This is what God is doing the whole of Genesis chapter 1. He's taking back property that Satan covered with emptiness and darkness and thorns and all of that. And God is saying the responsibility of man, of Adam, was to push back the wilderness, push back the walls of Eden, and to create a kingdom for God on the whole earth. That was Adam's responsibility. So God is, we have to operate how God operates. With our mouths, we have to bless. We have to assess what's going on. We have to have a spirit of increase about us, a spirit of a mentality of victory, and you shall not be vanquished. And you got to use every spiritual item that you have in order to get that increase. 2 days ago, somebody reminded us again on my Facebook page about the prayer of Jabez. You know, everybody knows it, don't you? You know, but I kind of got stuck about the third phrase there. And it says, the Lord shall decrease your pain, and no harm shall come to you. And I had to write, I had to respond with, yeah, the blessings are there for us, but God has given us every spiritual warfare ability. Amen. To conquer the enemy, to vanquish the enemy, so that we will be free from harm, and so that we'll be free from pain. So we've got to get up sometimes and curse the enemy in the name of Jesus. And fight for your rights, for your children, and for your property. All right? And this is what God was doing. And God was so radical. He says, this is pure confusion. Water covering everywhere. I'm going to have water here and land here. I'm going to call it water. I'm going to call it land. So the way you operate is you name things. You categorize things. You say, this is foolishness. This is wisdom. This cannot go on in my family again. I want this. All right? We're organizing for kingdom development in our home, kingdom development in our cities, and all of this. And we see God very categorically doing things. So we can't be wishy-washy. God said, first day I'm going to do this, second day do this, and everything he was creative, principle of creativity, the principle of prophetic intention. When you want something changed, you say it with your mouth, you speak it forth. We're going to operate the way God operates. We're going to say some things, all right? But we're looking at God's modus operandi here. In verse 11, that is one of the key verses you want to see today before we move on to blessing. And in verse 11, we see a principle. What principle is there in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 1? The principle is, God, let the land produce vegetation. I like that. You know, he didn't say, oh, may the land produce. Whenever he says let, he means it must happen. Okay? It's a declarative statement. And trees on the land, plants and trees, seed-bearing plants and trees, that they may bear fruit with seed inside of it, according to his various kinds. And so it was. What God said, so it is. So it happens. What you say is going to happen as well. But what is the principle there? The principle of reproduction. God says, I'm going to make an apple tree with fruit, with seed, to always exactly produce apples generations after generation. God is a very economical God. He doesn't come and create the first apple tree and come back and create the second apple tree and so forth. That's a waste of time. And God is an eternal God. We're eternal people. We're going to start operating like God. Okay? What we do is we create seed with ability to reproduce after its own kind. And this is what God does. And so, if you are a good woman of God, virtuous woman, you are a virtuous man of God, a man who understands that the government is upon his shoulders, that he must be a rulership for the kingdom and his generation. That's why God has made him with that voice, made you with that voice and with that capacity to lead. Then you are supposed to reproduce sons and daughters with that same ability, because you are supposed to reproduce after your own kind. So don't let anybody doctor or anybody fool you and tell you that, you know, okay, remember you have in your family this kind of disease that always go down from generation to generation. So since your great grandmother died like this, your child will die. That is not kingdom thinking, all right? You are supposed to produce seed. You have to know who you are, and you reproduce after your own kind. That is God's masterstroke. Because a day would come soon when Satan would think that he has Adam and Eve destroyed. He saw the dominion God gave to Adam, Satan did, and he wanted that allegiance. He thought he got that allegiance when he seduced man, Adam and Eve. But God said, in the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So Satan thought that Adam and Eve would die and he would retain the allegiance. Because Satan always wants God dominion from in heaven. And he wants it here on the earth. That is why acquiring the kingdom of God is going to take a fight. You're going to have to use your wits about you, and you're going to have to speak life in everything that you do, because Satan wants to see everything you have destroyed. He's going to make you think that you don't have any influence, and he's going to make you not want to reproduce children who have influence. So you very, very quickly you get discouraged about your children. I don't know where your children are at, or your sons, or which sickness your child has or whatever. But God is saying to you now that the basic truth about you, there may be some facts, but the truth about you and me is that we reproduce after our own kind. Yes. So I'm a woman of God. I reproduce women of God, my children. My husband is a man of God, so, and my children have that same blessing. That's right. All right? That is by right. That's your rights. No, that's kingdom rights. That's your kingdom right. Before we all just talk about human rights and so, Bishop Peter was telling us last night, there's kingdom rights that you have, and that's one kingdom right. The right to know you are born of God, you have inherited God's capacity and ability for kingdom rulership, for eternal thinking, for big creative thinking and all of that. And it is your right also to know that you bless your children, and by right they have your DNA. The Spirit of God inside of all of them. That's your DNA, that's mine, and that's our children's. And you speak that my son, our last son, was teaching his 2-year, 4-month old 3 weeks ago. And he was teaching her all about, well, you know, sometimes she doesn't tell the truth. And she was teaching her the meaning of what truth is and how when God, the Spirit, lives inside of you, then you make right decisions, you do the right thing. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. He's talking to a 2-year, 4-month-old. And he said, so well, you're not to be rude and not do the right thing. So then he got to the point of teaching. So to breathe in, God breathed into man after he made man, his spirit. So his spirit lives inside of man. So now, Amara, take a deep breath and breathe in the Spirit of God. So she did like this. Hi. She said hi to God, the Spirit inside of her. You believe it? What you teach them, they know it and believe it.
That's right.
Nobody ever taught me that, you know. But that's how he, kingdom man, is teaching his kingdom daughter.
Yes.
That the Spirit of God lives inside of her. And she said hi. I love it. So, you know, it's how we train the next generation. It's how we bless them. It's the mentality, the Sunday school teaching, what we teach them. I'm a child of a king. My father is king. He made me in his own image and likeness. I think like a king. My God, says the 8-year-old, made me able to rule the earth that he created. I am made to be in charge of what gives me, what God gives me to be in charge of. I am a child of a king. My father is king. That's what we have to teach our 8-year-old children. You understand? The spirit of kingship. And what they are taught is what they will be. And what you believe now for yourself and your kids is what you will have in the name of Jesus. The spirit of reproduction. Now, by the time we jump down quickly to verses 26, 27, and 28 of Genesis chapter 1, we see, we've spoken about this already, but let's read the word because it's a word, the truth that comes and brings life to us. Then God said, it's like he had done all these things, showed us the modus operandi of organizing things in Genesis 1 to 25 and putting things in order and speaking light and using your voice, prophesying, declaring things through your mouth. He'd done all of that. And then he said, let us, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, out of the spirit of agreement of the Trinity, out of a covenantal kingdom spirit, then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the face of the earth. Next verse, next verse, ground, right? Continue with the other. So God did it. So he said, I'm going to do it. That's how we have to think. I'm going to think this. I'm going to do it. And then you have to do it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And the next verse gives us our key for today. And God. So already he thought about what he will do. Then he did it. And in his capacity as God, you know that man was created with the capacity to have womb and all of that to reproduce. God was created man with the capacity to have dominion, to have a kingdom understanding. If you don't have dominion, you don't understand kingdom. You know, you have to have a spirit of dominion. All right? So God, so he did it in the verse 27. So God did it and gave him dominion capacity to subdue the earth and to have and to be in charge of everything he had created. Whoa! That's dominion ability equal kingdom authority ability. And then God does this. And he just repeats himself. Is he just repetitive? Is God just being like we can't understand what he's saying? No, he's teaching us a principle in verse 28. It is the principle of blessing. To bless means to release potential. To bless means what God said, I've already made them with that capacity to be fruitful, to multiply, to have dominion. Now I'm going to bless. Your children have already been born with the capacity for rulership, kingdom ability, to be priests and prophets and kings on the earth. Your children have already been born with the ability and capacity to be kings, rulers, priests, prophets on the earth. But what God does is God blesses. So to speak words, declarative words, and bless each other, bless our children, is to use that key to release potential, to release abilities. That's why I love to be blessed. You know, I love anointing. I noticed your pastor here has three bottles here. I don't know what, I was wondering what it is. I said, wow, let me read this. All of this is olive oil, lily of the valley, and all of that. You know why this is used? Because the oil is, when you get touched with a blessing and a declarative words are spoken over you, the promise that God has given to you will happen. It releases the potential. An anointing, words of blessing, not necessarily oil, but words of blessing. Yeah. Spoken over you. When we touch our children, we bless them. When God promises you that this grandchild will be a child of honor in his generation, this granddaughter, I see her with a spirit of a priesthood. I see her with compassionate hands and a compassionate heart, and she'll be the darling of her generation because she'll walk among the poor and bring them life and peace. When God tells you that about your grandchild, the next thing you have to do is to bless the child. And your blessing, your right to bless, and your spoken declarative words will expand the capacity in that child and expose the ability and release the potential of those children. So that's what we should do. It is such, some reference was made last night. You know, to where I have preached in the past. And I have blessed people and taught them what I'm teaching you now. I will take 5 days and teach. I've never said this ever before, and I wouldn't have unless it was mentioned here. They don't necessarily ask me to come back because they don't care about the next generation. They have a nice church and they like everything else, but, you know, we have nice children, we provide for them and all that, but they don't. Yeah, when you bless a child, you have to nurture the child into the capacity. If I bless one son to be a prophetic voice in his nation, I can't watch him die. I can't watch him be silent. Because God promised us, his father and I, that he will rise to be a prophetic voice in his generation. So when Christopher, our last son, had a ball of cancer right under his right knee, and the enemy, you know, the doctor gave us all kind of stuff about he will need this and that, and he won't be able to reproduce children, and wouldn't be fertile, and he'll be on chemotherapy, blah, blah. I had to say, God, you promised me by the word declared that this seed will rise up to be a prophetic voice in his generation. And Christopher has not yet spoken to his generation, so he shall live and shall not die. Right. When the enemy said he's going to die, I had to say to the enemy, be gone, be cursed. Because he has not yet fulfilled the blessing word spoken on his life. That he will become a prophet. His voice shall be heard in his nation. So now you can look, Google Christopher Morgan, Go for God Family Church, and listen to him talk about kingdom. That's what he's doing. But how God spared his life, but this one mother here had to remind the Lord, we mothers, we have to use our big mouths. Fathers, you can do it too. You cannot only stand as priests in your house, you know, our fathers, you know, these men. They're very priestly and so forth, and nice before the Lord. And like Job, God, if my sons have sinned, I just pray that you would bless them. But we mothers, we have to take up our right hand and say, stop doing that. God has called you to be a prophet. I declare that you should not be so and so. You know, so we both have to bless our children and know the word of blessing for each one. Then we have to use the let there be light modus operandi and say, you shall not do so and so. You shall go into that place of governmental ability, establishing the kingdom of God in your generation. You know, all of that is embedded in verse 28. God showed us the M.O., how to do it. Bless. Today we're going to bless your children in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to bless your children with ability to know. For you to know what God has said for them. I wish I could take the time, but I'll just remind you because you are so spiritually mature, you know what I'm talking about. So you understand the behavior of Hannah when she didn't have a child. No child yet coming. The other woman showing her bad face and things showing off on her. And you know, Wow. She had to go before God and said, God, I'm noticing that the Eli's sons are doing foolishness in the kingdom, and you need a priest. God, give me a priest. God, let me conceive and bear a child. And I bless him with the blessing of the priesthood. And I promise you, I will make a priestly garment every year for him and take it to the temple for my son. And that's what she did. So when God wants something changed towards his kingdom purposes, he puts it in the heart of women, men and women, to conceive seed and to bless children with a priestly blessing in the name of Jesus. And when God saw Deborah's nation being devastated, the Bible says in Judges that Deborah arose and she spoke to the man, the general of the army. Up, this is the day to violently take the kingdom, she says. A woman said that to the head of the army. And so they got up and they hastily went and did what Deborah had said that they should do. The Bible says, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So something motherly has to rise up in us as women. Yes. Not just for our four and no more, but for Israel. Israel, the real Israel, and for the Israel around us, for our city and for our nation. We have rise and we have to have the spirit of motherhood. This child that I worked so hard to bring forth, he shall live and not die. This nation, this city that we are plowing our lives and sweat into this ground, it shall reproduce more and more for us and for our children. And of the increase of that, I shall bear. And I shall carry with thanksgiving before the Lord. This is how we have to speak. Yeah. We have to think the way God thinks. Yeah. I mean, when God wanted something done, he produced a son. And he put the government on his son's shoulders. And then he let the son do what he had to do to gain that government. And then he says, the earth is yours. Then he made his son sit at his right hand to rule in that kingdom. What kind of God is this? I know, he's my kind of God. I am made in his image. I will say things that I just find in a little verse that God say. And I will big it up and blow it up. And God will listen to me because he said it in his word. Because I think like God. The more we think like God is, the better for us. So we don't have to say, oh God, what did God say again about this? Let me think. See it here. No, if you read this Bible plenty, listen to your pastor. I know he's a man of the word. If we do that, when we are confronted with the enemy wanting to kill off our seed or something, we just have to take a little backward step. How does God think about it? Then we get notice a spirit of rage rising in us to curse the enemy. That's how God thinks, you see. We notice words come to our mouths that the way God thinks. And we speak, let there be light in the life of my child. He shall live and not die. When Jacob wanted, when he was dying, what did he do in Genesis chapter 49? Maybe we should look at Genesis 49, 1, and then maybe verse 5 or something, just to let the word speak to us, because now we're going to start blessing our children in Jesus' name. Is that Genesis? I want now, yeah, we know that. So we're having, what did I say? I said Genesis, yeah. Genesis chapter 49. And God is very, God knows what he's doing. We don't have time to look at a couple of chapters before, when Jacob did his hand like that and blessed second-born son to be firstborn, Ephraim and Manasseh, remember? The grandchildren that Joseph had in that heathen pagan country. These children are going to be blessed too. And they were going to have part of the inheritance. And if God chooses to bless this one with my right hand and the second-born one with my right hand, let God do what he wants. For the genealogy, the Bible says, is not to be reckoned after the birthright. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 11, chapter 5. The genealogy, 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2. Just write that down. We can't look at it right now. If I have to, I will. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, 1 and 2. I'm saying that to say that God will do what he wants in your family. There may be a child that you don't like too much. He looked like your grandfather and you didn't like your grandfather. He reminds you of that good for nothing so and so. And you just don't really want to bless that one. You know, oh my, poor Jesse. When Samuel came to bless David, they looked for a king. So the natural thing is to send a big, tall, handsome one. No, Samuel said, not that one. Say, okay, look at this one then, God, bless him. No, Okay, well, all the sons passed before you. Don't you have another son? The prophet had to ask. Yeah, David. Kind of absent-minded, smelling of sheep. Kind of always like he's not here. Praising God on the harp and all that stuff. That's the one. Yeah. And he was David. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, Jesus Christ shall be established now and forevermore, for perpetual generations, your seed and mine. I'm just telling you that to say, all of our children are going to be blessed. The little sickly one. God is not preferential treatment. No partiality. The one that you least favor is the one God wants to bless most. I was going to say for spite, but God doesn't operate like that. But when you really look at God, you wonder about him sometimes. How come he blessed so-and-so? That's why the more we want to be like him, is the better off we'll be, okay? So Jacob, he was dying. He did the right thing he had to do in order to be like God. God bless Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Israel. He made sure his covenant proceeded from generation to generation. Made a covenant with father and then with son. God is so tireless. And with his other son, Jacob. You know. So here was Jacob about to pass over to the other side. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. That sounds prophetic. Yeah. Come, children, come and let me prophesy over you. You fathers, that's your kingdom right, to prophesy over your children. Mothers, it's your kingdom responsibility. Come, children, let me tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come. Don't curse the one. Don't curse them. Don't ever say, you know, you have never succeeded, strong and all of that. We'll see some blessings coming here. Assemble, sons, listen to Jacob. Listen to your father, Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in power, in honor, and in power. But he goes on to say, but you are turbulent. You will no longer excel, for you did so and so and so. You know, Moses in Genesis chapter 33 had to turn around that curse and bless Reuben, the firstborn son, in a whole different way. He said, Reuben, let your men will never be few. You'll be a leader of many, many. Because fathers sometimes remember our children, remember the weaknesses, and then we just hesitate to bless. This is why God is pointing this verse out to us today. Yeah. Because remember, you know, that remember he didn't. Well, you have too much memory. Just cut it out.
That's right.
And just see what God has for your child. The fact might be this, but the truth about it is that God wants to bless you and your seed and the increase of the government of his kingdom on earth. There shall be no end, and his shoulders shall bear the mantle of rulership and government. So, Simeon and Levi, and he goes on. Their swords are weapons and so on and so. And all of the blessings, read it. And if you look at Genesis 49, you see what we are doing today happening. Like, this is a pattern of a template for how to bless your children. All of these sons will be blessed differentially. Some will be prophetic, some will be priestly, some will be kingly, some will have dominion, you know, and rule in spheres of government in their nation. Levi, priesthood. By the way, how come Levi got to get the spirit of the priesthood? Urim and Thummim and all that stuff. You know what? You know why he got it? Because then God said, go and kill off everybody who has broken my law. He didn't have any. He didn't say, well, here's my mother. I'm not going to touch my mother. You know, he didn't tolerate foolishness. And that was the one that was chosen to be of the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. So priests can exact judgment as well. Has blessed you with a nice blessing. And then God blessed Joseph. God saw, the father saw something in Joseph, that the blessing that his brothers said that they had for him after they cursed him so much would be not as great as the blessing of his father. He said, the blessing of your fathers will prevail above the blessings of others who say they are blessing you. Today God says he's going to bless you with the blessing of the father, and it will superimpose itself. It will surpass any kind of weak flaky, flaky blessing anybody ever gave you. This is what he was saying about Joseph. And of the increase of his government, increase of riches, increase of the kind, increase of the cattle. Whoa, how come Joseph had so many increase of stuff? Because he knew the capacity. The father knew Jacob could do it. Don't you know your children? I know mine, the four children we have. I know that my three sons. God called one to be a prophetic voice. God called one to be a dominion spirit. God called one to be a priest. And we know the difference. So you know the difference in your children, don't you? God whispered in your ear blessings for them already. When the child was in the womb, when the child was conceived, when the child was born, the prophet came through and gave you a blessing for son number one and daughter number one, whatever. So you have all of these on your mind right now in the name of Jesus. Remember every blessing God has ever given you for your children. Remember everything you ever noticed in that child. How come he's so bold? How come he's so talkative? Especially the talkative children, the boys especially. They like to talk loud and they say, "Mommy, don't drive so fast." And he says, "Shut up. Mommy, I'm going to tell Daddy how you're driving too fast. Boy, shut up your mouth. That's a little prophet behind you telling you, slow down, you know." You know, we have to be so careful. Those prophets and those priests, as we bring them up in the house of in your house, but you know their potential, you know their proclivity, you know what they're bent to do. Yeah. And Jacob knew all of them, and he foresaw what had happened to his children. And the sweet thing about it here is he was prophesying about the future of Israel, the land, the nation. When you bless your children, you are blessing your country, your city. Now, if you really are a kingdom person, if you really know who you are, and stop believing the lie that somebody told you, you'll always be the tail and never the head. You will understand what God is saying to us now. He's saying that the blessing for Cross Creek Church, because you have honored me with your worship, says the Lord, because you have honored me with your sweet creativity and simplicity, because you have honored me, God is speaking to this house now in the name of Jesus. With the simplicity of your love for my word, says God. With the clarity of your thinking, I will bless you, the Lord says, with a double honor. And you shall exact justice, and you shall declare righteousness, and you shall rule with my right arm, says the Lord. I choose to bless you and your seed forever. I choose to increase your worship, and I choose to increase your children's capacity for leadership. All your sons born in your house are born to rule, says God, because I have measured your heart and your simplicity and your love for me and your love for worship in the name of Jesus. God says, I choose to bless this house with that blessing, and all who come and sit in these chairs are liable also tomorrow to receive that blessing. In other words, God says, all of your children will be children of dominion. They'll all have a royal priesthood spirit. Amen. Priests forever, but royal priesthood before me. They shall understand majesty, and they shall increase in an understanding of excellence. And I shall cause them to value my kingdom, and I shall cause them to see my sovereignty and not be afraid of my great, magnificent, exuberant, superb glory and majesty. You will see it, says the Lord, and you shall bless your children with that same vision. This is the word of the Lord for you. I want to bless at this time the drummer. Is the drummer here? I can't see him. I can't see him behind that thing. I know you have to have it. Which one? Oh, in the black. You know, I just come and sit up next to your pastor for a change. Let me see how you walk. I may have to send you back and let you walk again. Go back. I mean the beard. Wait, I didn't tell you to walk yet. Stand up, nice. No, stand up, sir. Okay, come out in the middle, nice. Pastor, come and stand here. He's going to shake your hand in a minute. Something I read on CNN where I think it's somebody, some ruler of ISIS or something, with a long beard. And somebody is going to shame him by shaving off his beard or some nonsense like that. But you know, I love your beard. You know, wear it well. God says, that inasmuch as he has blessed this house today with a triple anointing for understanding of sovereignty and rulership and dominion, inasmuch as he has twinned the spirit of worship and your love for worship in this house with a love for majesty and sovereignty of God, inasmuch as that understanding of praise and worship is in your heart and shall be in the heart of this people, in the same way I shall bless you with the spirit of dominion, and you shall dare to look into my face, says God. This word is for you. God says, I have been waiting for cities to turn to me through worship, in the public square even. And I have been waiting to hear the drumbeat of worship and praise in the marketplace. Yes. And I've been waiting, says God, for the church buildings to explode with the glory of my being. I've been waiting for you, says God, not to be scared of gazing into the face of your God. They have told you and you have believed that you must bow your heart and your head and your vision when my glory is passing by. But today I say to you, says the Lord, that I will expose to you my glory and my majesty and my sovereignty. And in the quiet place, as you find a place of worship before God, you will stand tall and strong with the government upon your shoulders, with your head held high. The blessing of your father's fathers is upon you. The blessing and grace for honor, to carry honor in your heart, in your backbone, and on your shoulders, says the Lord. I have been waiting to save cities, but I have been waiting for you as a prince to take your place of authority in the city and in the place of worship. So that is who you are, born to rule. You are born to have dominion. We see the mantle of dominion on your shoulders. We see in you a fearless heart. You're not afraid of the enemy, and you're not afraid of the glory and majesty of your King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who you are. We bless you with that blessing today. So you shall hear and know when the anointing comes in worship, and you shall hold on to that anointing on those drums, and you shall let your drumbeats beat into the heart of this earth that groans and travails, waiting for redemption. And your drumbeats will be heard within the walls of heaven, and glory shall be exposed to your people, and you shall be able to discern what the anointing is. That is who you are. That is the blessing of your God for you. Now, I want you to put your hands down to your side, hold your head up high. Don't lean to one side. Straighten your neck. The beard can take the weight. And I want you to strike the pastor, go right straight, so he just walks straight towards you. Let them see how a dominion man walks. Come, walk up now. There we go. Wonderful. Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now there's I'm going to say this quietly and quickly, that there is a modus operandi again that God uses, and it is years ago, God said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 that I will set, enmity in your heart against Satan, and your seed shall rule on the earth and all of that. And you will have a seed, and he'll be a seed of destiny. Remember, Eve heard that prayer, woman, in Genesis chapter 3. Well, generations later, Mary had to hear the angel and to say, let it be unto me according to that word. So I want you, any of you who wanted the blessing that he just received, I want it. Let us say, Lord, be it unto me too, according to that word. So for all of the people on the praise and worship team, let it be unto me according to that word. For all of us who love the praise in this house and beyond this house, Lord, let it be unto me according to that word. Lord, I will seek you in the quiet place, and I shall not be afraid of your glory. I shall stare into your majesty. I shall stare beyond the trails of your garments that fill the temple, Lord. And I shall stare beyond the 24 elders and be at the throne of your mercy and your gravity and your supremacy as king. I shall stare, Lord, into your on top of your throne where you sit, and I shall see your face, and I shall not be afraid of your majesty, and I shall catch a glimpse of your glory, and I shall share it to the nations and this old earth that groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of your glory through sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. Let it be unto me according to that word. Let it be unto me, O Lord, according to that word in the name of Jesus. Good. So, you want to bless your children in the name of the Lord Jesus. I told you that I know about my children, the four that we have, and the four grandchildren. Yesterday, I got an email from my granddaughter. She had written a poem on the movie, The Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. I wouldn't have wanted her to go to see it, because I hear they have some weird little gay stuff pushed into it now. Anyway, her parents let her go. But she wrote a poem, and, you know, but I have to see where I have to skew it, and I have to shape her thoughts, because she has a prophetic word on her life. So I know the word that God has for my granddaughter, and I see things in her life, and I know when to bless, and I know what to curse and to move away from her. So it's a very active intervention that we have to have with our children. After we bless today, I wrote this whole book. We don't have many copies, just one. How to raise your children. You know the prophetic word for them. How to raise each of them differently because of the blessing that God has for each of them that's so different, and the general blessings that my hair is tucked into something there. You know that. So after we speak the word, it doesn't finish today. You write down whatever God says. Today he has spoken to us about three words already. What has God said for us today? You remember that, you write that down. And then you have to shape your way of behaving, the way you act with them. You have always got to remember what is word for their lives. So this week I had an opportunity to speak to my first son several times. I had an opportunity, although he has God's blessing on his life for something, I have to remind him, whisper into his ear what he needs to hear. The second son, I emailed him already for the morning, blessed him. Third son, I know how to bless him. He's going to say, Mommy, I'm going to teach on the DNA, the Spirit of God, DNA, da-da-da. And I have to know how to respond to that and all of that. So it's an active intervention we have with these blessing children, these blessed children today, in the name of Jesus. For good and not to hurt them. Not to harm them, but to bless them in the name of Jesus. To bless them with be bold enough to bless with a bigger gift than you have ever received. Because you can cope with it. Have you noticed how strong you are? Have you noticed the rage that you feel in your heart against injustice? That's who you're born to be, to speak out on the behalf of those who need your voice for advocacy for them, the poor and the distressed. You are born to talk for them. So let justice reign through you. So we're blessing ourselves, we're blessing the next generation in the name of Jesus, and we are saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm really ready to work with this, with each child, on myself. So daily I increase in the blessings that you have given to me in the name of Jesus. So, first of all, I want to pray to ask the parents if you have any questions. Grandparents, you have any questions about what we are saying? What I've been wanting you to do is to remember each blessing for each child that God has ever given to you. That's that boy crying, making noise there, that you know the blessing on his life. Or if you don't know, it's okay. You all have three sons? Is that three sons I'm seeing there? Whoa. What a blessing. Do you know that there are some races and some heathen pagan nations that determined to have 12 sons? And if you don't look sharp, in a couple of years, they are going to be bigger, more than the Christians on this globe, because they have plenty of children. So I love when you have three, you can have three more. I mean, God says increase more and more, you and your children. So God wants you to increase. It's okay, you know. And if you can't have any more, you can foster three more. Give them your name and your nature and your character. And bring them up as kingdom children, born to rule. Born to be seed of destiny. You can do it. You already have started nicely. You do it already. In the name of Jesus. I want you to understand the blessing God has for Elliot and all of the male children in the house. All you young men, it can't just be the children. There are so many young people here. And you know your grown children, sons and daughters. They are going to get another blessing today in the name of Jesus. We're going to ask the Lord to just help us remember things and how we're going to bless these children. We already know the blessing of the house is for dominion, priestly, royal priesthood. So that's a blessing for all each child, every child in this house today. God said, I'm just giving you a mass blessing. Because you are in this house, because of the spirit of your worship, I can trust you with my majesty. I can trust you with rulership. This is the word of the Lord for this house this weekend. So we know that that's a blessing for each child, okay? In the name of Jesus, lovely. Any questions? Any questions that you think you want to ask so it'll help another person even?
So there's no age limit as to when we can bless his sons?
No, there's no age limit. Like when Jacob called his sons, they were of all ages. So that's a biblical precedence that we have there. The fact that you bore that child, the fact that you fathered, mothered that child, it is your kingdom right. That's a kingdom blessing to bless your children at any age. That also helps us not to fear our children's faces. You know, Eli was blessed with perpetual priesthood. Perpetual, you know, forever and ever. Every generation will rise and become old enough to be priests in the house of the Lord. But Eli tolerated some things in his sons. He feared his sons above fearing God, how much he feared God. And God says, because you honored your sons above me, you didn't correct them, I'm going to have to take away that blessing for generations. Sometimes God takes away a blessing for 3 generations. He said the old seed have to grow out, and then your great-great-great-grandchild, I'll have them be blessed with that blessing. So I'm saying it's for 10 generations. If a son like David, king, was to be born, he waited for generations, you know, before he blessed Jesus and David and so on. So, yeah, any ages, all ages. You know, the truth about it is that Satan just wants to fool us and make us think, and make us say things like, boy, you are old enough. You're on your own. Since you walked out of this house, I have nothing to do with you. You are of age. The moment you say that, Satan just say, now they are mine. So don't think anything about too old because you're giving up. And the enemy is going to take your children and their children. So no age limit on blessing our children. Wherever they are, they're going to feel the blessing of God right now in the name of Jesus. That you bless them. Then you're going to make provision for that blessing. You know, when we bless, we have to make provision for the blessing. Remember when David blessed Solomon, his son, to build the temple? So much to say. David wanted to build the temple. You want to build God's kingdom. Yay. God says to David, your son will build the temple. Your children will ensure the longevity of my kingdom. So, David had to bless his sons in 1 Chronicles, you know all those scriptures. And he had to make provision. He had the silver and the gold and the masons and everything to build the temple, the father. So if you're preparing to bless, you have to be prepared also to give some of your resources towards the blessing. And you know God is a God of increase. He'll just increase you more and more, you and your children. I love it. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the child has walked away from the Lord and been sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the child has walked away and doing whatever he wants to do.
Curse some of those things. You,
there we go. I'm glad what you said, Pastor. Said we have to curse some of those things and pull them out. I'm just quoting what your pastor said. Curse. Some of you, you're too sweet and nice. You don't like to curse. You have to learn to curse. Really? You have to love the blessing and curse the curses. If you can't curse it on your own, bring it to the elders of this church. And when they stand and they curse, it's going to be cursed forever. So you have to know what you can manage on your own, you know, and know what you need your pastoral help for and so forth. But you have to curse curses. It just startles me. Although I preach this and I understand it, you know, when I read Psalm 137, Lord, but raise Jerusalem, let their children be dashed against a stone. Psalm 137, that sounds like a curse, and I don't want to say it. But that is what the psalmist said. That's what God inspired the psalmist to say. There are some things we have to curse in order for us to come into the inherited blessing and our children to inherit, and your child eat and hog food out there. You have to curse his love. He shall not get accustomed to eating pig food. He has to come to himself. Things to curse, and you have to draw them in. You have to go and find some of them, meet them halfway. Yeah, and then you have to remember, you're a godly man by God's principle of equivalent effect and reproduction. All your children are just like you, godly and virtuous. That is a truth about them. And Satan will not distort that in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you go, right now we reach out to those children, Lord, wherever they are, whatever they might be doing, that's wrong, wrong way of thinking, a just deceitful way of thinking, Lord, lying, whatever it is, oh God, that they are engrossed in doing right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking for a particular son right now who calls me mom. By the way, anybody calls you mom and you're not their mother? Anybody calls you dad? The moment you told them, yes, you can call me mom, is the moment you took on intercessory responsibility for them. So don't let them call you mama unless you really want to pray and say, break some curses over their lives for them. So as I was praying, I remembered a son who calls me mom, but he needs to be broken. Some things need to be broken in his life right now in the name of Jesus. And the blessing of God has to reign supreme in his life in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hear my prayer. Let my cry come unto you, O God. In the name, I hold unto the horns of the altar, Lord, for these children in Jesus' name. Sometimes you have to bawl like Hannah, holding onto the horns of the altar, and Eli saying, she looked like she drunk or something, but her heart was in agony. Whatever God wants, you know, we will do to bless our children. Pastor, any other questions I need to answer before we speak blessings? For our daughters and for our sons. Let us see what guides us today. What guides us is what God told us first, which is always look for increase. So don't speak small blessings, speak large blessings. Okay? You know, when the children of Israel moved out of the slavery of Egypt, when they only had a little square inch to cultivate by Babylon, Babylon only gave them a little tiny piece of land, and they were slaves. And they had a little piece of property to plant their little Hebrew herbs on. So they could water it. It says in Deuteronomy 6 or something, they could water it just by turning around and just watering. You know, the slave mentality taking charge of them. And then God said, now you've moved from Egypt slavery. You're now in the promised land. You have to receive kingdom blessings. It's no more little piece of land. It's hills and valleys I'm going to give you. I'm going to do the watering, the early rain and the latter rain, says God. I'm going to increase your faith for that. So I do believe that God wants to dominate our minds with that same spirit of increase and how to manage increase. A lot of persons that I've tried to bless say, well, I kind of often find myself saying, but you don't want any more responsibility. Is that your problem? Some of us say, look, I can't even manage just half a piece of lot here. I don't want any more. So you don't have any blessing for your children to have more property. So we eradicate that right now in the name of Jesus. Any small mentality that you have in Jesus' name. Well, somebody told you can't manage. Who told you you can't manage something? Maybe you have to remember some brother curse you and tell you just because you're so big you think you own everything. You, second to last. Lying there with a black cap. Mm-hmm. You know, I just see you walking and people saying, who does he think he is? And you didn't even, all he did was walk by. But they saw a kind of dominion spirit in you. And they either got a little scared of you or they say, you're walking like he owned the place. And I think people will look at you with envy just because of your stature. And somebody in your past may have said a weak, I don't want to say curse, but don't want you to become all of who you are.